This is Winning with ADHD, a podcast for parents to empower students. Build up your ADHD teens so that they recognize their own talents, creativity, and uniqueness. Get tips and tricks to help overcome executive functioning challenges. Listen to stories and experiences of what worked and what did not. Together, let's find ways to build your child's self-esteem and start winning with ADHD. And now, here's your host, Heather Walker.
Happy June. This is Heather Walker, and I'd like to welcome you to the Winning with ADHD podcast for parents. This month, we're going to talk about Scheduling Sunday. Scheduling Sunday is actually a fairly simple activity in and of itself. It's the consistency pieces that come along with it that are the biggest challenge, which, if we're honest, is probably the biggest piece or challenge to any new habit or change in schedule that we take on as humans. And so I'm going to walk through what Scheduling Sunday is, some of the things that we were able to gain from it, and some insights. And as for all of 2024, if you go to the podcast and download the worksheets that go with it, you can have a resource available to you for free to be able to work through this and see how this could help you and your family be able to win with ADHD. So Scheduling Sunday. For our family, Sundays are a quiet day. I think our family in general needs it. I think that it allows us to just like reboot and get ready for the week. Some of us take naps, we watch movies, or we do some crafts, but it really is a really quiet day at home most of the time. When we get towards the end of the day, we start to get ready for the next week. So everybody gets showers, we get our book bags ready to go. If it's over summertime, we maybe get activity or things together for an activity like going to the pool so that we're ready to go for the next day, and really does create that next day, that morning going really well. So I think I've talked about that before with our North Star routine, with our evening activities that we do to make sure that we have a smooth morning that is uneventful, because we do not like mornings that are full of events, because that usually means that there's stress and chaos. And our goal is to eliminate as much of that as possible. So in the evening, before the week starts, we take a look at our calendar. We use the Skylight calendar. As our kids have gotten older, it allows us to bring everybody's calendars together to see what is happening that next week. And we talk through the logistics of our family in that practice and make sure that we've got everything covered. So at that same time, we come through and we print out a daily sheet, or we write it out on a piece of paper. At times I've bought from Amazon different planners that have the, a week's view, but it starts at like 7 a.m. and goes to 10 p.m. Some of them break it out by the hour. Some even go as far as every 15 minutes. For us, a schedule that breaks out every hour has been sufficient for what we've been doing. But really what we're looking to do is to block off times that we are busy with certain activities. So for example, if we have a doctor's appointment, we would block off that time, including travel time, that we would be dedicating to, say, going to the dentist. Or if we had any type of practice, so piano practice, play practice, marching band, soccer, basketball, football, whatever it might be, getting that schedule on there. And then from there, you're able to see what time is left. And so depending on how busy your family is or your child is, you can then start to identify when can we have breaks and when can we be working on homework and when do we have our free time or fun activities that help us to enjoy week over week. So what this is not is a to-do list. So the goal of this is not to write a to-do list. You probably need a little bit of one in regards to priorities that need to be worked on, but this activity in and of itself is mainly to identify when can we have free time to do what we want, whether that be playing a video game, reading a book, hanging out with friends, whatever that looks like for your kid. Then we also need to add in, time to work on homework. So whether that's just daily math pages, or if they have a project or a paper to write, maybe a science fair project, something like that, that you have time dedicated to work on those pieces. If your child is in-person school, you can utilize Disrupt ADHD to text, and they can text back, and you can capture what they need to work on to be able to know what to work on. That was one of the biggest pieces that we had a struggle with when Emily was in-person school, is because we were unable to know, because as soon as she walked out of that classroom, she didn't remember that she needed to finish her math page. And so what create that created was the snowball of all of these incomplete assignments, or unstarted assignments that haven't been started, that we would find out about when the teacher decided to grade and upload them into the grading portal. And so we ended up in a place where we were always behind, didn't know what was due, didn't know what we needed to work on. So that was the first piece that we did. And once we know what we need to be working on, whatever way that you identify that information, you can then help your child stay on top of it. Because I can promise you, being behind doesn't make anybody feel better about how they're showing up or what they have to do or feeling successful in their life. So we want to feel successful, because success is part of the action of helping to create momentum, or and then maintain momentum. So we need to know that we're winning, and we need to feel like we're winning, because if we don't ever feel like we're winning, then we kind of feel like, what's the point? Why would we do that? And so this is a way to help create momentum, maintain momentum, and then be able to recognize and celebrate the wins. Along with that, we need to be able to identify the fun activities, and that it isn't just all work. When Emily was in 10th grade, it was all work because she was so far behind. And we started her 11th grade year in a very different way. Drastic differences between 10th and 11th grade, to from being behind on everything to being current, from having a low self-esteem and self-efficacy to having a more appropriate amount of self-esteem and confidence and self-efficacy that she could actually turn in her assignments and do well in her classes. So we're looking to map that out. One of the things that you might notice as a parent, and you start doing this, is that maybe your family life is really, really busy, and that there really isn't a lot of time available for free time and or schoolwork. So if you have a few kids and they're all in a few activities, that might be that that's all you get done. And then you might need to be creative about when we do schoolwork and creating the best environment around that. Another thing that you might look at is, could we get some carpool for some of our activities to allow for us to have a day at home to work on things? Is it possible that maybe we've gotten ourselves in over our heads? Maybe we're involved in too many activities. There's definitely a sense of badge of honor of being busy in today's society. And if that's you and you're feeling that, I would challenge you to take a look at it and say, maybe we have too many activities going on. Maybe we need to say no to a few things. Maybe we need to find a better way to balance it out while still maybe not feeling like we're being punished if we really enjoy all those activities. So every family is different, every child is different, but utilize this activity as an opportunity to kind of take everything out of the box and put it back in and decide if everything goes back in the box. It's a great way to just reevaluate how your life looks and if that is something that provides joy or does it just provide stress. So take a look at that and make a decision for your family, or probably better yet, have a conversation with your child also to find out how do they feel about it and what do they think that that might look like for them if they had a say. And not that they don't have a say, but like have a true and honest conversation with them about, should we consider some changes or should we leave it as it is? And if we leave it as it is, what can we do to help you feel success in these areas? So that's also one of the other things that I think is absolutely vital for the success, is the conversation with your kid and finding out where they would like to dedicate their time and when. And knowing that we're here to help create success in school so that it's not dreaded and that you can feel the wins that are associated with that. So again, not a to-do list, but rather a way to balance out the work and the fun each week, knowing that we need to help them have awareness that there is opportunity for fun, free time activities. And your kid might be the one that being at basketball practice is the fun and the free time and what really drives them. And so if that's the case, you know, I would want to make sure that I'm doing everything I can to make sure that they have access to that, to be able to help utilize that to motivate them and help them to be able to be successful in another area. And in this case, our focus is on schoolwork and feeling success within schoolwork. One of the things that we learned as we started doing this is that by bringing awareness to those times, is that it's not all work, there is some fun, but also that it's an ability or having the ability to be able to make decisions in the moment. If you have ADHD, you are drawn to impulsive decisions. Well, laying on the couch right now is what I'm doing, and that is more fun, and that's easier than getting off of the couch and coming and doing a math sheet. So, being able to say, well, this is our work time. We talked about this week, and we decided that we were going to work now because tomorrow you're going to go to your friend's house, or we have this activity planned, or it could be that, hey, this is work time, and later you are wanting to go read a book because that's what you really enjoy. Would you like to use your time now as free time to sit on the couch doing nothing and then use your reading time later to do schoolwork? By giving that option to them, they get to make the choice as to when they're going to work and if they're going to be giving up something that they want to do for choosing what seems easy right now, which is classic for how a person with ADHD will show up. Part of the reason why they show up that way is because their ability to look into the future or look into the past from a time perspective and what they will miss out on is something that they have to work on because it's kind of time is blurred for them in a sense, to where looking back to recognize their wins and how things have gone well is something that we've had to work really hard to be able to remind Emily on where she has won in the past, and then be able to help her apply that to what she did then, to what's happening now, and how we can get there again. And so reminding them of this timepiece, both from how long it's going to take to work on something, how long they have to work on something, or even what time is being used up for in the future. A lot of times, Emily will say, well, I'll just do it tomorrow. And I'm like, well, that's a great idea, except for the fact that you have work tomorrow and you have this tomorrow. And oh, we're going over to so and so's family tomorrow. So we really don't have time to work on that tomorrow. And so those with ADHD will quickly say, we'll just work on that tomorrow. Like they are masters at procrastinating because they don't see the pieces that will interfere with that in the future or the consequences of that procrastination. And then you are in a situation where there's a time crunch. So there are two main ways that kids with ADHD show up when you have time crunches. Option number one is that they step up and they're able to hyper focus and they can get tons of things done and do really well in that type of scenario. The second option is the exact opposite of that, where they freeze, they're unable to take action because they are frozen over the anxiety of this like ticking clock of when the due date is coming about, and they're unable to actually focus and work because there's like fear of not being able to get it done. And so they don't get anything done. So you need to be able to identify how does your kid show up? And it's possible that they show up in different ways depending on the activity or the situation. We have a friend that does really well in those super high pressure moments and can get tons of things done in that amount of time. But there is a limit to how much a person can take in those situations. If you get too far, you will ultimately carry over or bleed over into that overwhelm and inability to be able to accomplish the amount of work that you've done because you've procrastinated. It's procrastinated so much that it's actually not feasible to get done. The kids that show up in the other way, it's helpful to see if we can get them ahead a little bit. And so the relief of knowing that's done is really beneficial to them. But there's also this balance of being ahead, but not too far ahead. Because if you get too far ahead, then the thought process is, well, I'm way ahead now. I don't need to keep working on this. And so then you create a new type of procrastination that even though they're ahead, now they actually get behind because they're like, I can't. I don't need to work because I am ahead. And then they underestimate the amount of time it will take them to get the project done or finish the assignment. And so helping them to balance those activities is a skill that you can help them learn, and bringing awareness to the time brackets that are associated with that. One other thing to take note of is that you need to make sure you schedule in breaks or plan for breaks. Probably about 10 minutes for every hour. You could also do 5 minutes for every 30 minutes is a great starting point. Those with ADHD brains tend to run out of the gas, so to speak, to run the executive functioning part of their brain to be able to keep working and putting their best effort forward. And so if you have a work to accomplish, that is really the best way is to take those breaks, to be aware of those breaks, and then, you know, get back to work after that. So there's a couple of ways that you can handle that depending on your kid. If you go too long of a break, you then get it to where you can't get back on track to work. So be mindful of that. If you can get have activity during the break, that's great, like movement or getting a snack. And then also, you know, balancing that out with some breaks where they're able to, say, lay on the couch for a minute and close their eyes, whichever works best for them. For Emily, it just really depends on the day as to what's happening. Sometimes she needs a break every 30 minutes. Sometimes she needs a 10-minute break instead of a 5-minute break. There's lots of ways that you can work around that. But if you have a plan as to when you need to be working, you can utilize that to say, you know, if we're using our time now, then that means we're going to give up time over here that's free time because we didn't get our work done in this time frame. There are also days where we're just not able to show up. I think we all experience that. I think with ADHD, it's something that shows up more where they get burned out a little bit faster. And so being aware of the fact that you might have some days where you're just not able to get things done, and that's okay too. So make sure that you're always working with your school and your educators to find out the best way to work with them. There are tons of ways that you can help with the workload that is brought home. There are services at school that you can work on during school to help get classwork done. There are ways that you can help reduce the amount of work that needs to be accomplished. Remember, the goal is to make sure that they understand the concept and that they're able to show that they understand it. A lot of times there are math worksheets, for example, where we did only the odds or only the evens to be able to help break up the work a little bit, but also still be able to show that they're able to perform and meet that they've understood the concept that's being taught. So remember, that's the main goal, not the busy work that can sometimes come along with it. And so having conversations with your school and your educators, finding out what are some ways that you can work with them. I've learned that in elementary school years, it's a lot easier to work directly with the teacher. Once you get into middle school and high school, that becomes a little bit more of a challenge. So if you're getting ready to bridge that gap and you realize that you're working with your teachers directly on a lot of those things, it might be worth a conversation to talk about a more formalized plan, such as a 504 or an IEP, to be able to set them up for success as they start to progress into those older classes, and therefore the expectations start to increase. So That is how scheduling Sunday was probably one of the most impactful changes that we made with our family, and being able to help Emily see how to how the week looked and find success and start stacking those wins. I hope you find something helpful from this podcast this month. As a reminder, there's a worksheet that you can download off of the podcast or from the blog and use as a free resource. Please reach out if you have any questions. I'd love to talk to you and see if I can help offer any other ideas. And I wish you all the best.
Winning with ADHD is brought to you by Disrupt ADHD. Head on to disruptadhd.com/learn more.